Hello, hockey fans. Welcome once again to another episode of the Vegas Hockey Podcast. I'm Mark Warner, along with Chris Lisa, who is not with us this evening. We had to come on and do a little bit of something. Say goodbye to Coach Gerard Gallant, relieved of his duties this morning in Canada. I'm not seeing too many people online that are happy about this. I'm not happy about this. I'm not going to pretend to understand the decision. Kelly McCrimmon maybe doesn't understand it himself based on the press conference, because he said all he can say is that he had a feeling that it was time for something to change. I don't know what that means. I don't think he knows what that means. I know Gerard Gallant's the head coach of the All-Star game. I think if he's good enough to coach in the All-Star game, he's good enough to coach the Vegas Golden Knights, in my book. And then just a slap in the face to the fan base to bring in clown coach Peter DeBoer. I'm not going to mix my words here. I was throwing my tools at work. I don't know what I don't know what this is there now. I think that there was half truth and non truth in the little presser and that Kelly McCrimmon gave. I have strong doubts that this all came together in 24 hours. Anyone who follows sports knows if there's a gut feeling that the coach needs to go now, you hire an interim coach and you undergo a coaching search and you interview candidates and you make a decision based on those interviews. That's how things work. It's befuddling to me that they think I would believe that, oh, yeah, we just gave him a call after Buffalo game. We just gave Pete a call, and he's going to show up here in Ontario tonight. This all came together in 24 hours. I'm not buying that. I don't have to pretend that I do. This is my podcast. If you feel like it's time to make a change, fine. But there's, I guess you're not going to say you've been working with Pete DeBoer behind the scenes for a couple weeks now, because whatever, right? Usually if there's a 24 hour period where you decide to change your coach, and there's this guy down in Chicago named Rocky Thompson who runs the rookie camps, groomed to understand the Vegas Golden Knights way. You know what I'm saying? You bring him up as interim head coach, and then undergo a coaching search is how things, you know, would work. So I to me, that's a slap in the face. That's, I don't believe this happened in the last 24 hours. It's kind of ridiculous that you would go through contract negotiations and like a 12-minute phone call and go get a visa and blah, blah, blah. Pete DeBoer, in my opinion, is an awful hockey coach. He was fired a month ago because he had a team that was expected to contend for the Stanley Cup in the San Jose Sharks, and they were underperforming drastically, and he was terminated. Lost the room, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words this evening. It doesn't make any sense to me that you would get rid of anyone listening to the show knows there has to be something behind the scenes here where there is a conflict of personality or something's been brewing. This isn't like they said, oh, it all came down in 24 hours. That's a line of crap. I'm not buying it. This is a team that is 3 points out of first place in their division. The head coach is going to the All-Star game. They came home on the seven-game homestand. It came in like a lion, went out like a lamb, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. It wasn't the most successful homestand, but it was a 4-3 homestand. And you go to Buffalo, and you, my buddy at work looked like said the Knights were playing desperate. Looked like when you're holding something and you drop it and you're shaking around in your hand trying to grab it and you can't really get a hold of it and it's almost there and you can't grasp it. He said that's what the Golden Knights look like in Buffalo. I can't disagree with him. They played good hockey for long stretches of the game, but I myself last week when they give up four goals in a row in the first period said something's broken with this team. I don't know if it was broke to this extent, but and I was looking up a few things. Okay, 24-19-6, it's a .551 winning percentage. excuse me, tied for a wild card spot. They're trying to find where it was at here. Hold on just a second. Okay, here we go. Third in the league in Corsi. First by a wide margin in expected goals at 5-on-5, weighted for shot quality at 106.93, but are 12th in actual goals with 98. That means the players aren't finishing their shots. We know that they've had a problem finishing their shots all year at one point or another. Every Golden Knight has been struggling this season with finishing their shots. Pacioretty at the start of the year was hitting two or three posts a game, it seemed like. And he came around and he's been on fire lately. Stone's struggled. Carlson's in the midst of a slump. Riley Smith has probably been the most consistent scoring forward, and he's had his droughts this year. But the coaching, the system, is effective effectively shown by being third in Corsi, first in goals expected. And they have the number 24 shooting percentage. It's 7.5%. They're second in the NHL in scoring chances. 22nd in goals scored. 17th in the NHL in goals per game, 3.02. These stats are coming out of an article. I'll give full credit here. Greg Wyszynski's article posted up on ESPN. So there you go. I'm not even going to get into what he goes on. Okay, what's the board going to bring? I don't know, and I don't care. I don't have much more to say on the subject. I don't want to get if I had done this podcast at let's just say around 10 o'clock today, it'd be a lot spicier, if you will. I understand that coaches are fired in sports, but this doesn't make any sense. You're in a playoff spot. You're 3 points out of hosting a home playoff series in the first round. Making the playoffs for the third consecutive year as a franchise. 2 years removed, you know, I'm not going to go through the history. Stanley Cup, Jack Adams, Jargalant's a fine coach. So maybe there's something where him and McCrimmon didn't get – there's something else involved. They said it was purely a performance issue. I guess that's in response to the Bill Peters incident, the Dallas incident, that now you have to say that Jargalant wasn't abusing his players or whatever. I don't know what that comment is supposed to mean. Purely a hockey decision, whatever. Maybe it's just a matter that McCrimmon and him didn't see eye to eye. But you have to understand, it was management that built this team and sent him into the season with 2 7-8 defensemen in Marilyn Holden and a rookie defenseman in the offseason, traded away a bona fide 4 5 defenseman in Colin Miller because management had given Stone $9 million and Pacioretty $6.5 million and Stastny $6.5 million and so on and so forth down the line, and they boxed themselves into a salary cap corner and made changes to the roster. I trade away Eric Halla and forced Gallant to play a lot of players, and you know what? There's been a lot of injuries on this team. I'm not making excuses. Next man up, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't have the depth and you don't want to bring up Zekov and you don't want to go to Chicago and bring up someone to replace Marchessault, and, I mean, coach plays John Merrill as a forward in a game, and then that's the depth and the construction of this team right now. To me, if you've listened to the show before, there's nowhere near they had a real bad slump early in the season. And my co-host Chris says, "Oh, what's your panic?" It was about a 5. It wasn't the whole, a hockey season. This seems to me like a move by people who don't understand the game of hockey. And I know George McPhee, and he's a brilliant hockey mind. And I know Kelly McCrimmon is a brilliant hockey mind. And George McPhee surrounded himself with brilliant hockey minds when he staffed that front office. But it just seems to me like it's just a victim of expectations rather than just the eye test and the visual feedback of what the product you've assembled for Coach Gallant to coach. It is a team that has trouble finishing. It's a team that creates a lot of chances and gives up chances the other way. And we've seen recently, and I'm not taking a jab at Marc-Andre Fleury. Please don't take it that way. He hasn't been his best since the passing of his father, and it's completely understandable. That's how, when you give up those chances going the other way, and you've got 7 8 defensemen that should be in the press box trying to stop Jack Eichel coming down the left wing. And he's one of the 10 best players in the world. He scores. They lose in Buffalo. It's not a panic moment. Fire the coach. Fire Kelly. Getting this team to play together with chemistry, it consistently with the injuries they've had and the trouble that Marc-Andre Fleury has had, has been a growing process from the start of the year. Everyone saw the first two games against the Sharks, and they came out high emotion, high fire, smoked Martin Jones, smoked Aaron Dell. And I don't know if people thought they were going to win every game this season, 6-1, 5-1, 8-0, whatever. A season is a process, and it's a growing together. When you're playing Tuck, he's a right winger, you put him up on the first line left wing. This is more for, I guess you would say, new hockey fans. The chemistry has to be there. And if it's, you know, if Carlson flips it over to the left side and Tuck is a half a stick length away from where Marchessault might be on a pass, okay, that's a turnover. It's going the other way. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think Gerard Gallant should have been relieved of his duties as the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm not a fan of Pete DeBoer as a coach. I don't think he brings anything to the table that Gerard Gallant didn't. So there, my guess is this has been brewing for quite a while. I don't believe the press conference. I think this has been going on behind the scenes, and I even think that maybe somehow word got into the dressing room and the last four games or so of the hometown that they were pressing, trying to play for Gerard Gallant's job. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they were tanking it. This is just speculation, but I tweeted out today, dumbest decision in the history of sports. I don't understand why you fire your coach when you're a game out of first place and you're an you're an expansion team. The original goal, fully stated back in 2016, was playoffs in three, cup in six. That was the goal, right? Well, because of Gerard Gallant and some players that aren't here anymore, they were able everyone knows the first season, how it went, how it ended. Last year they got hosed, not a major, and then choked on the penalty kill. Excuse me. Two things are possible at once. They got hosed by the call, and they got and they choked on the penalty kill. Marceau, always loved Marceau for tying that game up and giving the boys a chance. But it doesn't change the fact they were hosed on the call. And this year they're right in a playoff position. And I am at a loss to words to explain it. The boys have some, you know, soul searching to do. There's the process you go through when you're putting your team and you're going through the season, and finishing your chances is something that this team has been struggled with. It wasn't because of a coaching system. It wasn't because of, the chatter and we didn't come out ready to play and this and that. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I guess I'm just about done here. So I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see how this plays out. I will say one thing. I've been in Las Vegas for 31 years. I was here when the Rebels won the championship. I saw how Tarkanian and UNLV captivated this town, filled the Thomas and Mack, 18,000 people strong, going crazy, couldn't get a seat. It was the place to be and the place to be seen, Thomas and Mack during Rebel games. And then the university decided they didn't want Tarkanian around anymore, NCAA troubles, whatever. Now they can't put they can't win a game. They haven't been in the NCAAs in who knows how long. I don't even, you know, who cares? The Rebels would have relocated if they weren't a college. They'd have been long gone. They can't even probably fill the Cox Pavilion, which is a smaller arena next to the Thomas and Mack that holds 4,000 or so, maybe, if that much. So there's one. This town will run through brick wall for you if you earn their loyalty, and they'll turn their back on you and never look back if you break that loyalty. I'm just saying that. It's happened with the Rebels. It's happened with entertainers that were Vegas beloved, and whatever reason, this town will die for you, and it'll kill you. And that's just how Las Vegas is. So I'm just saying, if this doesn't work out, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be pretty at T-Mobile. Fans are fans. That's fine. Don't piss off Las Vegas. That's all I'm saying. Maybe I'll have a little more balanced perspective by Saturday night when Chris comes back and we do the next show. I doubt it. I'll probably be more set in my ways, but for anyway, we're going to call this a day. It's not a good day in the Vegas Golden Knights land. Like I said, I don't know how else to put it. Anyway, that'll do it. For Mark on Mark, I'm gone.